Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. How the hell are ya? This is J-Bo speaking. I'm sorry I'm a couple days late. I don't know what's been happening with me. I've had a lot of stuff going on lately. I'll get into that a little bit later. I don't know if I'm battling depression or just tiredness. You know, sometimes tiredness can lead to depression, and depression can lead to tiredness. And, I don't know, I can't work out anymore. My chest and my shoulders. I found out I have a tear in my my rotator cuff, two of the muscles. So I have been working out. Have not been working out as much, but I've been riding my bike a lot. So possibly, do you guys ride your bikes out there? You know, your bicycles. It's a great workout. I rode 13 miles the other day, and then I was famished the next day and ate an insane sub here in Cumberland. It's called the steak sub, Dietrich's steak sub, and it's like a Philly cheesesteak kind of, but with Miracle Whip on the bottom. Steak, peppers, seasoned lettuce. Everybody talks about the seasoned lettuce, but it was wonderful. Anyway, I ate it and I fell asleep for 4 hours. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. How the hell are you? Tonight is, right now, I'm trying not to let it bother me, but this is the second podcast I've recorded. I recorded one that was great about an hour ago, and then I looked and it hadn't recorded, and that's my fault. I don't know what happened. I don't know if my microphone got switched. I really don't know. But either way, I went for like 40 minutes straight, only to realize I hadn't recorded a single fucking word. So here we go. This is what's called being professional. Now, had I been really professional, I would have put it out on Tuesday. But like I said, here we are. It's Wednesday night. And hopefully absence makes the heart grow fonder. A couple things I want to get into today. Okay, let's just hit it. Do you guys remember 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend was on. And we were talking about our wonderful cat named Buffalo. Now, Buffalo is this white cat. We got him from Buffalo, New York. He was like 2 years old. When we got him, he was like 4 months old. Beautiful cat. Just the greatest little angel cat. Greatest little personality. He was wonderful, man. I know he says was, and you guys feel the foreboding, the foreshadowing coming up. But he died. He got hit by a car, and my girlfriend had to see him directly afterwards. And she came home. Apparently, I wasn't there. I was here in Cumberland. She was at home. She saw him laying there. He's white fur, just bloody to hell, just on the road. It was fucking awful. She calls up screaming and crying and just, you know, it might as well have been a human that died. You know, I mean, that's what it felt like. I mean, now the aftermath, I don't think will be as long lasting because, you know, as much as pets are like humans, it's not quite like a human, and I can't really describe the difference other than there's a deeper connection with actual human beings. I mean, mostly, at least if you know them, for most people, who the fuck knows. It's been a sad month for her, and she had her birthday, right? But then her brother died last year at this, like, within the same week. And then her cat dies this year. She has a birthday, and her son, it's just this up and down, but we're starting to manage, right? It's about a week later right now, and it was just such a beautiful boy, such a beautiful cat. Young Buffalo, RIP, big buff boy, and I really miss him when I come home. It's weird. I think I see him sometimes, like I hallucinate almost, like, oh, he's behind that bookshelf, or beside the bookshelf. Is that his face? Or maybe that was another white cat that got hit. Maybe he's going to come up any moment. He doesn't, of course, but, you know, that there's always that thought, and it's just very strange. The house is much more quiet without Buffalo. We still have Emma. We still have another cat, and she's great. And I think she kind of enjoys being the center of attention. Buffalo was such a beautiful and like had such a great personality. He kind of stole the show. And I think we had her first, or do we have her second? I actually don't remember. She was rescued from behind a dumpster by my girlfriend. My girlfriend has this incredible she puts an incredible value on life, and it hit her so hard. It's such a beautiful thing, really. You know, she had a baby when she, you know, probably shouldn't have had a baby. 5 years ago, she just did it. Like, it wasn't even a question, you know, and she's, it's a wonderful, beautiful boy, right? Her 5-year-old, but you know, she's dealt with a lot because of it. You know, she could have made another easy choice, but her life would be totally different. She's vegetarian. She's actually vegan now. She just really is into PETA, and she's trying to spread the word that animals are not treated well when they're killed for meat. And she looks at any animal that you might eat just like she would look at her cat. Like, they all have personalities, they all have souls, and it's a beautiful thing. It actually has made me, aside from the steak sandwich the other night, embrace vegetarianism, I would say about 3/4. Occasionally I get my crazy raw fill of meat, not raw meat, of course, but just, you know, I just get raw with it, and I fucking go to town. But you know, if I get a burger, I get a veggie burger. If I get a wrap, it's a veggie wrap. If I make stuff at home, I made some wonderful lentil soup the other day. You guys ever made lentil soup? It's fucking easy. You just put like 8 times the amount of water, basically, as lentils, or maybe whatever the ratio is, and you boil that down, and you saute some onions and a little butter and little, you know, get an acid in there, not acid like LSD, but like, that might be interesting, but like some vinegar or some lemon, something like that. Then you mix that in with the lentils and season it perfectly, and it actually tastes like it's, you know, lentils, I think there's protein in lentils, it sticks to your ribs, and it actually tastes like when I served it to my girlfriend, she asked me if it was chicken broth. It tasted that rich. I was like, no, it's just, I just seasoned it properly. You know, I was very rich with the seasoning, you know, with the salts and the peppers and this, that, and the other. I even put a little, like log cabin syrup in there and a little, just this and that, whatever it took, you know, and it was awesome. Anyway, yes, we lost our cat. So, man, blew my fucking mind, you know, but I didn't have time for the pain, as weird as that sounds. Like, I'm working so much and I have so much going on that I just didn't have time for it. And I took it in. I'm sad, but I kind of compartmentalized it. You know, as an adult, I felt like I just had to do that, and I had to be there for her. Like, I don't feel like we both could fall apart like that. You know, like, she fell apart, you know, and I couldn't fucking fall apart. I'm not a tough person. I was just being practical, you know, and I'm a little older. I don't know. You get older, you've seen a few things, you know what I mean? I mean, old people are tough as shit, right? They've seen everything. They've seen everything, you know, on their body go. They've seen their friends go. And, you know, we just look at them as old people. But the reality is they were young and, you know, vibrant, quote unquote, you know, physically, you know, striking at some point, and now they're just those same people. I mean, I'm 43, and it's really weird. I can tell occasionally when somebody calls me sir, or when somebody mentions, you know, you're a little bit of an older guy or something like that, it hits me, like, I don't feel like that guy, you know? I know I am, because I'm in touch with reality. I know what year I was born, but it's very strange, you know? Age is a strange thing. My grandmother's almost 90, and she's, like, dating again, and she's, you know, loving life in a lot of ways. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I can't wait till I'm old, and I think when I'm old, I'm gonna be, like, one of those dudes in a camper, and I'm literally just gonna figure out a way to just cruise from coast to coast and go down to Florida in the winter and just plug up that camper and just kick it in a chair and look at the beach and have a little moped for transportation hooked to the back of that motherfucker. And I'm going to go have communities in, you know, Arizona, and, you know, maybe go out to California, go up north, have my house in Pennsylvania. It's going to be fucking great, man. I can't wait to do that shit. Wear sweatpants. Sweatpants is the ultimate fuck you, man. You wear sweatpants all fucking day. It'll be great. I'll have a dog. Maybe I'll have some turquoise fucking earrings on. Actually, I'm thinking about bringing back my earring. My ear is pierced, and I haven't worn an earring in about 25 years, but I think it might be time just to bring it back and not tell anybody and just see what they say. Anyway, how the hell are you out there in shit show? Out there in the universe, Jabo's people, thank you so much for listening. So what did you guys think about Notre Dame, the church that caught on fire? What was the first thing you thought? Did you just think, there's a church. It's on fire. What a shame. Now, what I thought was, fuck, I've been there. That's Notre Dame. That's a massive symbol of Christianity in a town overridden with, or overridden, you know, let's say chock full with the competing religion, which is Islam. And I believe in 2018, they burnt over 800 churches, but they vandalized 800. Look it up, but I believe 800 churches in Europe were vandalized in the year 2018. This is a holy week. It's, I don't know what last week was, but I know Easter is this week. So was that Good Friday? It was Ash Wednesday. Like, I don't know. I've forgotten how it all goes, but this is a very holy week, and that's what happens. And I found it very strange when the news would try to rope you into the idea that it was absolutely not terrorism, absolutely not arson. But then today, a day, like they did that within an hour of this fucking fire burning, right? And my thing is, well, I'll just be honest with you. It's a theory, and it has nothing to do with your ordinary run-of-the-mill Muslim folk that's a decent, hardworking person, you know? There is a radical sect of Islam that that really just fucks shit up, and they really want to destroy a lot of things in the West. And, you know, we could go back the other way, too. I mean, if you want to think, oh, well, the West does the same thing. I'm not sure that it does in the name of religion, but if you want to look at the land America has occupied, like in Iraq, the lives that were lost in Iraq, you could look at that as an extension of the holy war, you know, and certainly that's what they look at it as a Christian nation attacking them. But I'll just take it from the, you know, American standpoint. Anyway, what did you guys think about it? Did you think it might be religiously fueled, you know, torching? It seemed a little odd that within an hour of the thing happening, they told us, you know, it was not terrorism, it was not arson, but it was an accident. But then today, sorry, I'm repeating myself, but then today they said that basically they didn't know, and anything you've heard was a rumor. But one side is saying, what the fuck is going on here? Is this a religious-fueled attack? The other side's going, no, absolutely not. Neither side really knows. I think both sides are just hoping, you know, like the right is kind of hoping that it was Muslims so they can have a reason for their outrage and justify their worldview. And the left is really hoping not to. The left is rules shit and they rule minds, and people who don't think super hard are constantly inundated with leftist propaganda, and you see it everywhere, whether it's anti-Trump rhetoric. Trump is not a perfect human being, but treating him and speaking of him in the way that people seem to seems a little overboard. It seems a little brainwashed. It seems a little biased. But then some people would sit there and say people who love Trump are brainwashed as well. And I'm a pretty big Trump fan. That's probably obvious by how I'm speaking of the Notre Dame fire. But I've been to Notre Dame, and it was an unbelievable temple, an unbelievable castle, whatever you want to call it. And I had a crazy Paris story. And I went to Paris, and I got there from England, and I basically came up. I came up out of the underground of Paris, the Paris underground. I was on some kind of bus, and culture shock set in. It was dark. It was like 5 a.m. And, you know, when I go to Europe, the reason why I can do it is because I live really cheaply. So I'll do things like I'll stay in hostels. I'll stay on couches that are free. You know, couchsurfing.com is a great way to do things. I'll go in a grocery store, and I'll buy beef, I'll buy milk, I'll buy pasta sauce, and like, you know, onion and a mushroom, and make some badass sauce at the hostel, then keep it in my tin, which serves me for about 3 meals, and that's what I'll eat, and it really cuts down on food, and you know, I don't need to eat some fucking touristy bullshit restaurant, you know, I want to eat like the regular people eat. I want to shop in the grocery stores. That's what I really love. Like those little things that I see. I don't care about the Eiffel Tower too much. I care about seeing how people live. And that's one of the things. If you go to Europe, don't stay away from the cities. I'm sorry. Don't stay away from the cities, but don't only go to the cities. You know, if you go to the smaller towns, the smaller cities, you know, the thing is many of the big cities are international cities. So it's not a lot different than like, you know, New York City or LA or Chicago, you know, presumably. But you go to the smaller places like I loved Hamburg and Berlin and all this. But anyway, I digress, but that's fine. So I get to Paris, and it's a very romantic city, and you have to realize that going to Paris is kind of like going to a wedding, right? There's a pretty good chance you're going to get laid at a wedding if you're like a young guy and you're single and and you're partying. I mean, maybe that's how it is anywhere, but a wedding's got that vibe. And Paris is like the world's biggest wedding. You know, it's the most romantic city on earth, and it's beautiful, and it's known for that. And it's got the skyline is so gorgeous and ancient, and there's something about the blue sky and the clouds and the way everything pulls together and the way people are dressed and the way they talk and fashion and the coffee and the culture. It's just great. It's a great place. So I was there and I went to a hostel, and both nights I went, I had two girls ask me to like show them around, like literally like come up to me to ask me. Now that doesn't happen to me too often, you know, pretty rare. So I showed one girl around the first night. She was from Spain. She was awesome. But what fucked that up is I forgot her name halfway through the thing, and it didn't even matter because I couldn't really pronounce it anyway. And, you know, so what? Like I got her name once, never said it again, and I forgot it, but she got offended and kind of ruined the night. Now the second night was a girl from Sri Lanka, and I've never told this story before because you know, the people involved might be offended, but you know, it was a long time ago, it's over, and I don't think those people are listening anyway. I don't know who listens to my show really, but I do see the numbers. There's quite a few of you listening, and I appreciate it. But basically, I met this girl, and we wanted to walk across Paris one night, and we saw some very beautiful things, and I think we ate a ham and cheese fucking crepe or something, and that was cheap. We walked around, and we got drunk on wine, went to a restaurant, started drinking wine, and at some point, like, that little bit of electricity kind of entered both of our eyes and our minds and realized, okay, well, you know, we're kind of attracted to this other person, so we walked home, and at one point, I told her that I wanted to make out with a girl in Paris. So she's like, well, I think you should, you know? So I was like, holy shit, okay, I will. And so we started kissing, and it led to like down by the Seine. The Seine is a river. Sorry. My phone just fucking went off. The Seine is a river in France. You probably knew that, but it runs right next to the Notre Dame. And we were just making out and stuff, and it was really a beautiful moment, and we didn't realize we were drunk, and like we were like cavorting and hopping around and moving all around in this like thick grass. And what we didn't realize is this is where it gets weird. We fucking were stepping in human shit, in feces. Somebody had taken a shit right there. Like, it's nasty. I mean, I always heard that Paris was kind of gross, or at least I've heard that since then, but it's true. People just shit wherever. A lot of homeless, I guess. And when we walked away from there, her bag, her beautiful leather bag, was covered in shit. My shoes, my pant leg, and was covered in shit. And so we walked back to the hostel. And to be honest, okay, I had a fucking girlfriend, okay? I'm not proud of that, but that's what happened. We didn't have sex. We made out, right? Nothing. That's it. But we stepped in dog shit, and I looked at it as a bad omen. I was like, I shouldn't have fucking done that. And I felt really bad, and I kind of learned a lesson, you know, like karma, instant karma, you know, basically. If you're a shitty person, you'll just get shit on you. So I went back to the hostel, and she went to bed, you know, in her room or whatever. I went to my room. But before I went to my room, I tried to get the dog shit off my shoe. And so I went and got a fork from the pantry. And I'm in the bathroom, like, scraping this, like, toilet paper and dog shit off the bottom of my shoe with a fork. And it was so gross. And it just smelled. And I was drunk. And the owner of the hostel or whoever was running it that night came in and just looked at me, and I looked at him, and I had like a shitty fork and a shitty shoe in my hand, and I'm looking at him like through the haze of being a little bit drunk, and he looks at me, and neither of us said anything at all. We just acted like we weren't, the other person wasn't there. And I ended up going to bed after I cleaned off my shoe, punching the guy next to me when he was sleeping because he kept making all this crazy noise. He was, you know, had something going on with his breathing. And at one point he even woke up and was like, "Did you just punch me, man?" I said, "Yeah, dude, I did, but you're snoring." He's like, "All right, that's okay. Sorry, man." So the next morning I'm hungover. I got about 2 or 3 hours sleep, and I was trying to make it across Paris to a train station, not knowing the language, not a lot of English being spoken. They aren't super friendly to foreigners. One thing I appreciated about the French is they very much held on to their culture. They're not like kissing the ass of the English. So there's something kind of cool about that. Most other countries over there immediately speak English. Paris wasn't like that at all. So at some point I made it across town, and I was like, thank God. It took me forever. It was just really hard getting directions and going underground and blah, 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 and walking and the sun and that hangover and the shit smell. It was just fucked up. And the whole time I'm like, God damn it. I fucking really made my bed. Now I have to lie in it. You know, I shouldn't have made out with that chick. God damn it. Meanwhile, though, to be honest, my girlfriend, I think, was fucking some people back home. So it was just dysfunctional. I didn't know it, but the relationship was ending. So I don't feel too bad about it, to be honest. Then maybe she wasn't fucking somebody, but there's a possibility. Anyway, from what I found out afterwards, and that's a whole different episode of the shit show. So anyway, I make it to the train station, and I'm trying to get down to the south of France, right? And they told me that I didn't have any more money. So I'm like, God damn it. It's 2 weeks into my trip. I might be out of money. And the thing is, I wasn't out of money. I just couldn't tell until 8 hours later, you know, because, you know, the banks weren't open or something like that. You know, time difference and all that. So I made a snap decision. My Eurail pass wasn't going to get me to the south of France, but my Eurail pass would get me to Berlin. And I had a buddy in Berlin who I was going to stay with anyway. And I said, fuck it, I'm going to go. So I took like a 7 or 8 hour bus ride or train ride to Berlin. Maybe it was 5 hours. I don't know how long it was, but it was pretty cool. And once I waited over the German border, we stopped and I wanted to get out and like get a sandwich. We had like a 15-minute break. So I started talking to this old man who reminded me so much of my grandfather. He looked just like him. That I got swept up in talking to this guy, and just, I was, you know, just engrossed in being in Germany, and just one guy on the road, and it's just a brilliant thing. I mean, if you guys haven't gone to Europe, you have to go to fucking Europe. It's great. It's fucking amazing. Like, it's you ever been to Epcot Center in Disney World? It's like that, but it's the real thing, you know? So anyway, my train's about to leave. I jump back on the train. 5 minutes later, I realize I left my notebook with all my notes, and my Eurail pass. Eurail pass is $500. You cannot replace it. Do you know how hard it is trying to get a Eurail pass back when you're in Germany, that you left on a fucking bench? It's just not happening. I tried for a week in vain. I should have just given up. So I get to, you know, I get to Berlin, and my buddy picks me up, and he's like become this anti-American guy. Like, you know, you guys may or may not understand, but in Germany, politics are very fucking extreme, possibly because of the whole Hitler deal. But the right wing is obviously quite extreme, and the left wing is quite fucking extreme. American people in America, the politics here have nothing on people over there. I mean, it's fucking hardcore. Like, he wouldn't take me to bars because he's certain I would have been fucking torn apart. And he was like a good friend of mine, and he was fucking with me. I mean, I couldn't bring up Adam Carolla without him saying, "Oh yeah, it's real American, isn't it?" Fucking like insulting America. And I was just kind of becoming this like new right wing style person. You know, not fucking horrible person, right? But just somebody who, I don't know, I was just starting to learn about things and starting to find my political identity, that first flush, you know. It was like 5 years ago. I was kind of a late bloomer politically. But Yeah, it was just one big argument between me and this guy, and it got really vicious at some points, and he got drunk and just started saying how Americans were all assholes and they were loud, and the irony was he was the one being loud and an asshole, and his German girlfriend pointed that out. So anyway, that whole domino effect started with this bad choice of, like, making out with this chick, or, you know, maybe it was just the alcohol, or maybe it's just fucking random. But anyway, that's my Paris story. It was fucking whirlwind. It was beautiful, but it ended in kind of, like, chaotic, depressed, smelly, tired, regretful situation. So have you guys been to Paris? Is everybody worldly out there? Have you guys traveled a little bit? I would highly recommend it. I don't care how old you are. It doesn't take that much money. And if you have a mental block against it, well, lose that mental block. Find one good reason to go traveling somewhere. One good fucking reason. Do you guys have families? Things like that? Do you want a family? Do you want the small town life? Do you want that kind of American, you know, two cars, small house, wife, a couple kids? I mean, that's a beautiful thing, man. That's fucking beautiful, right? But sometimes, you know, a life that really appeals to me and, you know, I'm kind of torn, actually. It's a little bit of a crossroads right now because I've got a girlfriend. She's got a kid, and he's beautiful. I love him. He's great. And they pretty much live with me. However, I get this wanderlust, and she knows about it. It's no big secret, but, like, I listen to, you know, Joe Rogan interview Henry Rollins, and Henry Rollins is talking about, like, look, I don't, you know, how he doesn't make a good husband or a good boyfriend because he's too swept up in his own shit. He's always writing a book. He's always traveling. He's always, he just can't do it. He's not that guy. And there's a real honesty thing to that, because we all would love an offspring and love a family. It's a beautiful, beautiful notion. But were we all meant to procreate? I'm not sure that I was. Maybe I was. Were we all meant to sit down, sit on the farm, get fat, and enjoy those type of things? I don't know that we all were. So I'm kind of, it's like a crossroads, right? See you at the crossroads. You know, it's like, if you're tied down, don't listen to Henry Rollins. Don't read On the Road by Jack Kerouac. If you read On the Road by Jack Kerouac and you don't have the means to leave exactly where you are, you're going to be totally fucked. You're going to have wanderlust. It's going to kill you. You know, I've been really tortured lately about a certain thing. My father has been put in a nursing home, and I don't know if he's like a ward of the state or if you call it institutionalized. Like, it was kind of done by my grandmother, and, like, I understand why it was done, but he's literally a prisoner. Like, unless I take him out or unless somebody takes him out, he cannot leave. So it's so sad for me to watch him, like, be like, you know, some days he's just a normal dude. He's just a normal person. He's not super fucked up. You know, he's had some problems, but he can't leave these walls. And they say he's all over that place. You know, and he sees me and he's so happy to see me. And then I have to leave and I have to just go do my thing. And I have freedom. He doesn't have freedom. And him not having freedom kills me inside. It's affected me for, like, I don't know, for, like, ever since he got put in that place, like, 2 months ago. And I don't know, like, I can't just be like, oh, he's contented. That's how we do it. And he gets his 3 meals a day, and hey, what more can you ask for? It's dehumanizing is what it is. It's fucking dehumanizing. And, you know, when you go in these places, it's, they literally charge you $300 a day. Insurance pays for it. But if and when, God forbid, you die, the state settles up and they come back for you. They'll take your house. They'll take your car. They'll take your land. All because you stayed in a place that kept you in 24/7 under the guise of safety. Now I wonder how the fuck I'm going to get him out of there. I really want to get him out of there. But then I have to take care of him. Then I don't have freedom. So maybe there's a hybrid. Maybe I can do some kind of, like, is there home health care options? You know, people come over and you know, the same plate. It's like the same services except at your home type deal. I don't know. Anyway, it's none of you guys is concerned. It's just been very heavy. And I'm talking about freedom and crossroads. Here I am, like, contemplating this freedom. My own father doesn't even have the freedom to fucking walk out and literally stand in the sunshine. Like, it's fucking crazy. I'm trying to think of a plan. It's really crazy. I know I just said it was crazy three times, but I hope you guys are doing super well out there. This is my second podcast tonight. This one's probably a little bit more cohesive, so you probably got the good one, although my voice is a little hoarse right now. Please tune in next week. I'm going to mix down some songs this Friday. I'll have a whole experience for you guys. I'll probably debut some tracks from this fucking recording that I've been waiting to do for like 3 months. But the songs are good. I hope I pulled them off, and I hope we mix them down. I hope they're fucking great, and I hope it's obvious that there's some potential there, right? Who wouldn't hope that? Anyway, this is the Shit Show with J-Bo. Thank you so much. Sorry about the 2 or 3 day wait. I usually put them out Tuesday morning, and this week I will try to put it out Tuesday morning or Monday night. 2 days late here. Anyway, this is Shit Show with J-Bo. Have a wonderful week. Hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook. Let me know if you liked it, and we will talk soon. Bye now.